You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that will help enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
What is up, Blue Collar CEOs? It's Ryan, and awesome to be with you today. Hope you're having a great week. Man, there's a lot of stuff going on. We've had some really unique, amazing guests on the show over the past several weeks, and I hope you've loved it. We have even more incredible people in store coming up. You're definitely going to make sure that you subscribe wherever you're listening right now. I'm getting ready to introduce you to the owner of Reliance Plumbing, which is in the north side of Chicago. They're one of the largest plumbing companies on the North Shore, located in Northbrook, and they've been there for over 23 years. This guy has several licenses, has 33 years of plumbing experience, loves his faith, loves his family, and always puts his business first. And he's going to be talking about a lot of his growing pains that he's had going from startup to the company of the size he has now. He says a lot of things that I think is really unique and really inspirational and really helpful to people who are struggling to kind of work on the business, not work in the business, but pay special attention to the three things that he says at the end that he would encourage everyone to do today. Let's introduce you to Alex. All right. I am really glad to have you on the show. Although I got to be honest, you just told me that you have like 2 weeks off and we just kind of completely ruined the beginning part of your 2 weeks off. So thank you and sorry. But for those who don't yet know who you are yet, let's just maybe start there, man. Who are you and what do you do?
Okay, well, thank you for having me on the show. I'm on the podcast here, and my name is Alex. I'm the owner of Reliance Plumbing. I'm based in Northbrook, Illinois. I've had my business for about 23 years now, and you know, I'm just excited to be here to talk to you today.
So it's awesome to have you. What's crazy about your story though is you when you started the business, you had a couple other partners, and you've had some like growing pains along the ways. And I think a lot of guys, especially if they're starting out, they maybe have this idea, this fantasy of like, oh, here's how it's going to go. And it's like based on their previous job or whatever else, they're just going to magically fix all those things. But when you like start it on your own, like it kind of gets a little bit more complicated quickly. Do you mind like quickly telling us about like the story of like how you started with your partners and kind of how you ended up landing kind of in the position you are today? Like, I know there's a lot of stuff in 20 years, like that's a long time, but maybe yeah. The big brushstrokes.
Yeah. So we, back in, when was it? 98, I was working with two guys and at a big plumbing shop, and, we decided to split off of there and start our own thing. Right. We kind of clicked as three good friends. And, so we started our business, and we, you know, walking around passing out flyers back then. Right. There was no, the internet was just starting. And, so we were passing out flyers and we were getting busy, and we were just plumbers. We were just plumbers, right? We knew you do a job, you get paid, you move on, go to the next one. And you know, we kind of took that into the next couple of years. And it got to the point where we were just going to every job. We weren't charging to get out to every job. You know, we were just going. So our close rate was probably, and we weren't keeping track of it back then, but our close rate was probably around 50% if we're lucky. Right. We would go to a job. They just get some estimates. We move on to the next one. We hit three or four jobs. We finally get, you know, one customer that wanted to do the work. That was the hardest part. Right. Just going to jobs and not getting any work out of it. And then you start growing. You start hiring people. And you start getting we were working out of a basement at the time. Right. One of my partner's basement. And, you know, so we started growing. I started getting employees, started getting trucks. And now we had to raise our prices a little bit. Fast forward, you know, one of my partners split off, he went on his own. And then I was working with another partner for about 10 more years. And then he decided to retire and he left. I bought him out about 7-8 years ago. And I still got to the point where I was, you know, still going to jobs and, you know, 50%, 60% close rate was not cutting it. So we decided to start charging a consultation fee. You know, we give options for that too. And that's when things started really changing, right? We were getting rid of all of the tire kickers and now people that actually were like, well, if I'm paying for something, I better get something good. Right. So, I changed all our uniforms, all our logos, everything got changed just to make it look cleaner. And it's not just a truck with some stickers on it, right? It says plumbing.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all when you say it that way.
What's that?
That's not creepy at all when you say it that way. You know, it's a van. Yeah. There's no windows. There's stickers that have been pulled off.
Right. You got to look the part. You got to look the part, especially if you're charging. So we went through that, and I did some training with this company, and they helped us raise our average ticket from $350 to $400 a ticket to about $1,100 to $1,200 a ticket. And I can tell you a story about that. The first time I used that system, it was just, my jaw just dropped. And it's not like we're charging people more. You know, we're giving them options to give them something that they wanted. They're looking for someone to finally take care of the problem. And before we were just going there and just giving a band-aid, just, you know, like something as simple as rotting a drain. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like, I hear so many guys, especially when they go to like options pricing, when it's like, instead of it being like, hey, we're going to do this minor $300 task you called us out for. A lot of techs, especially early on, who don't have like sales training, they don't have like companies that have like reinforced this, they start like prejudging the customers based on their own pocketbooks.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, they would never pay money for this. So surely the customer wouldn't pay for it either. And it totally sucks money out of everyone's pocket and sucks benefit away from the customer. Did you feel like early on that that was a struggle for you to go from how to say, hey, here's a $300 job. I'm used to doing this thing for $300. But now the next day, like almost overnight, you're charging $1,100 on an average ticket. Like, was that a difficult mental shift for you?
It was. But when you get the idea of why you're giving them these options, they don't have to pick that top option. It's the most expensive, most premium. It's got all the bells and whistles. But you also got the cheap one at the bottom. So it's not like you're forcing them to take this one out. Oh, this is all you got. Right. You give them that one. You got a bunch of in the middle, and then you got that bottom one just to rot that drain again. So it kind of that takes away the pressure of you feeling like, oh, I'm going to rip somebody off here. No, I'm not ripping anybody off. I'm giving them a better solution by doing the whole repipe of the whole house and not just the laundry room. Right. Well, here, I give you this option. Let's do all the repipe of the whole house. Here's a better warranties. You got this and that, new faucets. Or down at the bottom, we could just repipe your laundry sink.
It sounds like this is probably like one specific type of several growing pains that you probably had.
Oh yeah,
like going through that. Like what's another like growing pain that comes to mind to you? They're like, oh man, that really sucked dealing it. But once you got your head around it, figured it out, it kind of helped propel you forward.
You know, another one was trying to keep employees engaged and know, you know, having like a clear, objection, what do you call it? A clear vision of what I want. Yeah. Okay. Right. Sometimes I have 25 employees and I have certain, I have meetings here and there with certain guys, but then they have a helper and they're sitting outside and they're just sitting in a truck waiting for my senior guy to get out. And I'm like, you know what, guys, you're clocked in already. Let's write this down. I have these rules now written down. They all read them, that if you're sitting around at the shop, you clock out or you stay busy, right? You stay busy. So that was just one of the things, because I don't like people just sitting around using the bathroom for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, right? They clock in, they go to the bathroom for 10
minutes. Who uses the bathroom for only 15 minutes?
Well, don't clock in and do it, right? Do that after you clock,
Yeah.
But, you know, just a clear vision of what you want, it helps a lot. When people understand what you want, and they know why they don't know why you're getting upset if you're just getting upset, right? Well, they didn't see that I saw him just sitting down smoking a cigarette on his phone, and he's on the clock. Get up, you know, and stay busy. I mean, something that's one little simple thing. But I'm trying to think. I mean, other I'm looking back in the past, what other issues? Well, another issue is trying to hire guys, right? So what I actually just have done, and I've done this for the last 2 years now, is now I have seven senior guys, and right now I have four kind of apprentices under them, and these are young guys in their 20s, and my those senior guys are training them, And I put him through this training system that I kind of set up for 2 years. I told him, listen, the next year and a half to 2 years, you're going to start running calls. And I just put about 4 months ago, two guys into a truck to start running service. And I hired two more guys, right? So I keep hiring these young guys to kind of learn plumbing. And after a year and a half to 2 years, they're already running. They're my plumbers. I have guys calling me that have 10, 15 years experience. And I'm like, I don't want them. I don't want them. I want these young guys to go out there and, you know, rot a drain, install a faucet.
But okay, talk about that for a second. Cause I think a lot of guys listening right now are always like, everyone is complaining about hiring the right people, right? There's like, if I just had the magic mystical tech walk in, like blah, blah, blah. And I think everyone thinks that they want a guy with a lot of experience because in their minds, it's like, they don't have to train them. They don't have to babysit them. They're going to come in and they're going to do everything right. Why is it that you go, I don't want those guys. I want these green guys.
You know, when you help these young guys at a young age, they kind of, they look at you as man, you helped me. Now I want to be here. I want to stay here. So the young guys that I have taken, I have one guy right now that I kind of started this with him. He's been with me for 7 years and he's a top plumber. He's going out there. He's going to be taking his test anytime now. Actually, he's ready to take his Illinois plumbing license test. And he's been working on it. And that's where I got the idea. I'm like, you know, if I can train these guys at a young age, give them an opportunity to become a licensed plumber, they're going to stay with me for a long time. So it takes 4 years to be a licensed plumber here in Illinois. And sometimes it takes 3-4 years just to get on a license. So right now I got a list of guys that's up on the wall that they can see where they're at on that list, where they're going to be the next one up to get on a card. Once they're on the card, now they got 4 years to get enough hours to be able to take the test. So they've been great. You know, yeah, I've had some guys, you know, first 3 months, it's like a 3 month trial, right? These guys, they're young. They don't know what they want. I had one guy picked up from a Starbucks, window getting a coffee, right? He's like, man, I don't want to be stuck here. I said, come, let me. Yeah. And I picked him up. And I picked him up and he came in and he kind of, you know, unfortunately, you got to be honest with me, just like I'm honest with you. I'll help you become a plumber if that's what you really want to be. And the guy wanted to be one, but after about 3 months, he decided, you know what, this isn't for me. I said, okay, goodbye. Right. It was a good helper for, you know, minimum wage for 3 months. Then I pick up another guy who, he just came in here on Friday and he was like, before I went on my vacation, he goes, Alex, I just got to say, man, thank you for the opportunity. Now, this guy's only 19 years old and he comes up, he shakes my hand. I just really appreciate being here, man. I really want to be a plumber.
I am a sucker for guys with like the old school, like manners, yeah, like that. Call you, yeah, sir, shake your hand.
Yes.
Like, you know, yes.
And he came up to me. I was like, dude, that makes me feel good, man. I really appreciate it. You know, you're doing well. I said, you're the next guy in the truck. And he's excited. You know, once they get in the truck, they get a little raise. They get to take the truck home, right? And it's exciting to see that he's excited to be here. You know, so
that I'm curious. This did not occur to me until I'm hearing you talk about the stories of how you like identify these guys. Do you feel like part of your role? This is going to sound weird, but for lack of a better term, do you feel like you enjoy finding people and almost like mentoring them, providing them opportunities, yes, that otherwise wouldn't know existed, and helping them like kind of blossom into their own?
That's probably the best part of my job.
Yeah.
I love training them. I love mentoring them. I love, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically. I bought a workout set and, you know, I said, you guys got to want to work out, go work out in that gym over there if you want to. I ran out of room, so I had to take it out. But, you know, they weren't happy that I took it out. But I also do a Friday morning prayer. I do. That's right. Awesome. For 15 minutes. We do a little prayer on Friday morning. You know, you're invited. If you want to come in, you can. I get a group of guys, you know, 5 to 10 guys come in every Friday morning. We do a little prayer. And then we have training every Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. I do training on Tuesdays and Thursdays is for my service guys. And on Wednesday is for my dig crew guy. It's like a safety training thing and kind of, you know, what to do and just, you know, in certain situations. So I do a lot of training and I love it. I love that part of it.
Do you have like a leadership team right now at all? Or are you making all the decisions?
You know, I'm working on that right now. I actually hired another company, and maybe you've heard of them. They're it's called Profitable Tradee.
I don't know that group.
Profitable Tradee. They're helping me out pretty darn good. They're out of Australia, I think.
I was gonna say Tradee is what they call like people in the trades in Australia. Yeah.
And they are helping me structure my business much better, where I am the entrepreneur and the manager, the CEO, and then it kind of branches off, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying
to cover these little spots here, the manager, you know. So I just recently have my operations manager and my financial manager, right? She does my permits and my book work and all that stuff. And then Charles is my operations manager. He's taking care of all my dig crew and my services and scheduling jobs. And then I got my parts manager. So I'm kind of trying to structure it so that I could just be the entrepreneur up here and maybe the trainer. I'm okay being a trainer. I could also get another guy eventually to be training, but I'm trying to structure it so that I don't have to be here all the time doing all that.
Yeah, it's hearing you describe it, it sounds really similar to a process like we use. And I know a lot of other shops use it, especially like they get past the 10 million mark. And that's like EOS, the Entrepreneur Operating System. And the idea is like for that, like the CEO is kind of like the visionary.
Yeah.
Like their job is like dream, think in the future. Like they are 12 months or more in their thought process, right? And then everything below, the next step would be like an integrator. Like this is the person who gets the shit done.
Yes.
They
probably do a better job than me.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right? It's like these are people who like they love the detail, they love the mechanics, they can't dream. You don't want these people to dream, but you want them to execute. And then from there, like you can have a whole leadership team where people are like responsible for their different departments and their different roles and blah blah blah. But the whole point is to your point, like it allows you to take 2 weeks off. Know that the business doesn't just like hobble along, but actually runs better, probably because you're not throwing shit at it every time you walk in.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know what I mean? And there's so much freedom when you start having like high quality leaders that run the business for you.
Yeah.
Like that's the dream.
It's not going to be hard for me to let go. You know, it was for a second. Cause I actually put, you know, we have this, we use a Service Titan. I'm sure you've heard of Service Titan.
Of course. Yeah.
And we got that bio right on there. And where my customers all see it, and on my bio is that I'm a hands-on, you know, owner of Reliance Plumbing. You know, I love to be on the field and this and that. And I'm like, I need to change that. I don't want to be hands-on. You know, so I actually changed it. You know, I also want to change my wardrobe. I don't want to wear jeans anymore. I want to wear you know something nicer. I don't want to be crawling in a crawl space anymore. I'm trying to stay away from being out there. And so I changed my bio, you know, so that I'm not out there so much, right? I don't want to be out there. I want to let my guys be out. So I'm trying. I actually did a in-house. I had to bring a guy up from to become I don't want to call him a supervisor, but a team leader. And I actually did an in-house hiring thing, open position. Right. And I posted it up and I sent it to everybody, and everybody's kind of like, you know, talking in the parking lot meetings, you know, hey, who's going to take that spot? You know, who's going to do this? Because I don't have a supervisor for my 20 guys, or not 20. It's like 14 for my 14 service guys. I don't have a main guy. And when I get back, they're going to tell me who they decided on becoming. I let them choose, you know.
So it's like, what's the reality TV show? Is it Survivor? Is that what you basically just did?
Yeah.
He's kind of like, and if they're wrong, maybe they get killed off. Who knows?
You know, I'll give them a shot for 3 months, see if it works out. You know,
you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you're saying, like, it's really cool. I'm really happy for you. And it's funny. You tell me, like, hey, you're changing, like, the clothes you're wearing, even.
Yeah.
Like, you remind me of, like, one of the clients we've worked with the longest time. His name's Brian Wooten, Wooten Plumbing. Like, he's, his growth has been like stupid insane, but at this point now he just looks like he spends his time like at golf courses. You know, he wears his polos, he wears his like little khaki shorts, walking around.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, he hasn't touched a toolbox in who knows when. Like he just he doesn't.
Yeah, right. It's hard, you know, in the beginning to get out. Because actually, what's helped me with Profitable Tradee too was learning my inside of my business a little better. Because my biggest the hardest part for me is my financials, right?
And for a lot of people, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like, I'm a plumber, man. As long as the money's coming in, you know, and I just, I need equipment, I just buy it. I mean, I'm just being honest, flat out honest. I mean, I 22 years in business, I still don't know how to read a, you know, my P&L and all that. So, right. I'm trying to get it, you know, handled. You know, I that has made me want to be in the office more. So before I would be in the office, I get frustrated looking at it, not understanding it. It looks like foreign to me. And then I just be like, all right, give me a job. I got to get out of here.
Your comfort zone. Yeah.
My comfort zone is out there in the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
I don't want to be out there now because they're helping me and I'm learning it more and I'm understanding it more. It is making me feel more comfortable being here, you know, and now I see where I'm losing money. Now I see what I need to do and I want to be here and do it. Where before I didn't see it. And I want to just get out there and just make, that's where I made money. I go out there, sell a job and know that it's coming in.
And so, I love this journey of like development you're going through is like so many people struggle to get to like past that ceiling that you have been able to, like, cause it's this idea of, they're comfortable working in the business, right? They're comfortable turning the wrench. They're comfortable like running calls. Like that's the spot that they've done for years and years and years, but it's really hard to pull themselves out of in the business and focus on the business.
Yes.
Right. To like, it's not them. And the best metaphor, someone had to do this to me last week as like a word of encouragement, because they said, imagine you own a restaurant. I don't know anything about restaurants. They said, if your chef up and quit today, what would you do? I'm like, hell if I know. And they're like, you wouldn't jump in the kitchen. Like you wouldn't go grab all the pans and put on the big floppy hat. Like you would, you'd figure out how to find a chef. You'd call everyone anew, get a chef. Like you would never in a million years succumb to thinking, I've got to be the one sauteing this food.
Right.
Right. But that's the mindset you have to get to, is to be able to say, it's not your food to cook. It's not your tools to turn. And that's a really hard transition. And I love that you're focusing on reading the balance sheet and the P&Ls and like those statements, because that tells the story of the business. Like it fundamentally tells the story of the business. And Travis Smith with Sky Plumbing, Heating, Cooling in the Northwest, like he made a point to take like community college classes to learn to read financial statements. And we're like, it's really, really clever. And when you own a business, it's one of the simplest things you can do to help you help the business.
Right.
You know?
Right. I mean, you know, for me, I mean, I tell you, I dropped out of high school. Right. I dropped out of high school. I went to a trade school and then I became a plumber. I mean, that quick, you know, at 20 years old, I became a plumber. I was never, school was really difficult for me and I'm terrified of doing it. My cousin actually owns he's a broker for, he went back to school for business school. Right. And it's good for him. He loved school when he was growing up. Right. And I'm like, man, I wish I could go back and do business school and get my business degree. But it's not right now. I'm learning it as I go here. I'm learning it, doing it myself, you know? It's tough. It's tough, but, I got good people with me right now. You know, they've been with me for 15 years, you know, my partner's son is still with me.
That's incredible, man.
Yeah. And my ex-partner's son and then another lady has been with me for a while and she likes the detail stuff. These two guys, they love the detail. I don't like detail. I see the whole forest. I don't see every little tree. Right. I don't want to be in stuck in the details. I'd rather be in the office. The other day I was out doing an RPZ test. I'm the only guy here in the office that does testing RPZ valves. I'm the only one licensed to do it. So here I am stuck driving all the way, you know, 20-minute drive. And I'm thinking to myself, what a waste of time. I could be looking at my P&L. I could be doing something else, back costing a job to see if I'm making any money on it or not. You know, and here I am stuck in traffic to go test a $200 job.
I remember I was talking with, another guy, Aaron Smeltz. He has a plumbing company in North Carolina, but he was doing something. It was like taking photos for Facebook.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I'm like, bro, how much do you pay yourself an hour as the owner of the business? And I don't remember what it was, like $4.50 an hour or something. Is like what his owner rate came down to. you're paying now a photographer $450 an hour, and you're not a photographer.
Right, right.
Like, hire a stupid photographer for $30 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, you just made that money back. Like, even the economics of that decision is, like, so difficult for some guys.
Yeah.
Like, you, as an owner, like, it's so much better. Dude, you have so much that I think that you can inspire people by and, like, encourage people to become. If somebody's listening now and they're, like, they're inspired by your story and the way you've kind of blew past some of these ceilings, are there, like, two or three bits of encouragement or advice from your own experience that you would give to those people?
Yeah. Well, one, I tell this to my kids too. You know, you gotta take risks. You gotta take risks. I see, you hear it all the time. People doing it fall down. I've done so many stupid things, right? But then I've done a lot of things that worked out, right? So you gotta take risks. You gotta find time to take a break, right? Because I've seen it. I've done it with my other partner too. When we were here, when he was with me, that we were struggling, and then. We actually took a vacation together, right? I took a vacation into Belize, right? And we're sitting there. Our phones got shut off. We couldn't do anything. And I mean, he's from Belize. So we went out there and we're on the beach. And then all of a sudden, all these ideas just started rolling, right? And we couldn't wait to get back. And we made some changes and things worked out. And, you know, so you need a little break every now and then, and a schedule. Is probably another good thing to do. You know, you got to have a schedule.
I think those are all three good ones. I especially like the idea of like taking a break. I feel like, I don't know why. It's every time I'm mowing my yard, like my brain is finally like disengaged enough that I finally am able to do some really good thinking. It's like all the chaos and the interruptions are gone. Right. Mm-hmm. You just have the zen of like the sound of the mower and the smell of the grass and like the taste of the beer, because yes, I drink and mow. But like something about that combination just makes it a really, it makes the ideas just pop up. And if you're, if you go to Belize, it's probably going to do that even better.
Yeah. No, that was good. You shut everything off. It's weird how you think you're just hearing the water on the waves, and then your mind just starts to just relax and you start thinking subconsciously about things. And then, you know, it's a good way to get, you know, to reset.
Alex, I love that you took the time to stop by, and I hate that it interrupted your time off, because I hope you do get time off to relax. If somebody is listening right now and they want to hit you up, reach out to you, pick your brain, how is there a way that you want people to contact you?
Yeah, you could email me directly to alex@relianceplumbing.com. You could, I think that'd probably be the best way to do it. Alex@reliancepl.com, or you can give us a call here at the office and leave a message, at 847-583-1858. An email would be fine too. I mean, either way.
I'll make sure both of those are in the show notes. So alex@reliancepl.com and then the phone 847-583-1858. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Boom. Dude, it was awesome meeting you. Congrats on all your success and way to go. I love how you like are finding a way to like steward people and help them develop. I hope you're able to spend some time off the next couple weeks and relax. Sorry to interrupt your time away, but
it's all good.
This is awesome.
I really appreciate being here, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of Levergy, the digital marketing solution for serious home service companies. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another awesome episode. See you soon.